Crossover to a better figure. In 1967, sometime between the end of sixth grade and the beginning of summer, my popularity seemed to dwindle. There appeared to be a connection between my friends growing out of their training bras and growing out of their friendship with me. They had moved on, leaving me in the proverbial dust, straddling my bike and shouting after them, "Hey guys, doesn't anyone want to play Twister?" The only friend I had left was Nancy Robinson, who remained, like me, flat-chested. Nancy spent every waking hour pushing her palms together, her elbows winged out and chanting, I must improve my bust." She was adamant in her belief that boobs were our ticket back to popularity and insisted that I had to do whatever it took to get them, or at the very least, fake it and stuff my bra with Kleenex. But this posed a bit of a problem for me because I didn't wear a bra, and more importantly, I didn't want one because deep down, I didn't want to grow up. I still wanted to jump through sprinklers, read Mad Magazine, and wear candy necklaces. And nothing in my mind marked having to abandon all of that more than owning, or worse, needing a bra. Once, when I was babysitting at Dr. Freely's house, I found a Playboy in the downstairs bathroom. Seeing all those gigantic bosoms attached to baby doll faces filled me with dread. I prayed that my mosquito bites, as my father called them, would stay just as they were. And if I had the misfortune of catching a glimpse of my mother getting out of the shower, seeing that patch of brown hair between her legs and her pepperoni areolas made me want to run screaming into my room, hold on to my stuffed animals for dear life, and chant like Peter Pan, "I won't grow up. I'll never grow up." But I knew if I had any hope of surviving middle school, I'd have to break down and get a bra. And fast. School was starting in 3 days. Since I'd spent all my allowance on Yoo-hoos and pixie sticks, I tried shoplifting a bra at Woolworth's, but a sales lady kept following me around, thwarting every attempt I made to stuff one in my purse. Defeated and braless, I was faced with my only option. I had to ask Mom to get one for me. And asking Mom for anything wasn't easy. When she wasn't at work, she was either too busy at home napping or reading. And daring to interrupt her at either would send her into a paroxysm of jaw-clenching fury, followed by a slew of goddammits and door-slamming. I had gone for days without toothpaste, fearing her ire, but I just had to get that bra. I stood outside her bedroom door, took a deep breath, and knocked. I always knew to give my mother fair warning. "Sweetie, I'm on the phone. What do you want?" That she addressed me as sweetie was a good sign. That meant she wasn't in a bad mood. I poked my head in. She was lying across her bed, twirling her index finger around the telephone cord, looking more like a teenager than a mother. "Mom, I need a new bra before school starts." "I'll call you back." She hung up and rolled over onto her side. "What for?" Her gaze slipped to my chest. "All the girls have them, and I don't want to be embarrassed when I have to change in gym class." This was only partially true. Apart from Nancy's edict, my other concern was that if on the off chance a boy came up behind me and tried to snap my bra, I wanted to make sure that I was wearing one. Yeah, sure, why not? Mom rolled back onto her stomach, picked up the phone, and began to dial. As I left, I heard her whisper, "No, it was nothing." And then she went back to giggling. I knew she was talking to a man. Mom loved to flirt, whether it was a client she was showing a house to or the bag boy at the grocery store. She didn't care. I was relieved that we didn't get into one of those embarrassing mother-daughter talks, but at the same time, I sort of wish she'd fussed over me a little bit. After all, wasn't getting your first bra supposed to be a big deal? Guess not in Mom's book. But the following afternoon, I found a teen form 30A powder puff bra waiting for me on my bed. I'd asked for a 28AA, but I wasn't about to complain. At last, I had a bra. I called Nancy immediately. Guess what? I got a bra. How? I broke down and asked Mom. Really? I'd expected Nancy to scream with the news. I felt shortchanged and disappointed that all she had to say was, "Really?" Change the subject. I asked what she was going to wear for the first day of school. I don't know. Listen, I gotta go. My sister needs the phone. I'll see you tomorrow. And she hung up. I held the receiver in my hand, dumbfounded that after all the time I'd spent worrying about getting a bra, it came down pretty much to a non-event. No big whoop. A total bust, as it were. I went back to my room to pick out my outfit for the first day of school. I laid out a skirt and a turquoise turtleneck that Nancy said brought out the blue in my eyes, and my brand new bra. I slid it out of the cardboard box. I held it in front of me by the shoulder straps. It was so white, clean, and smelled brand new. A pink rosebud the size of a pencil eraser was nestled between two tiny mint green leaves stitched to the spot where the cups met. Not really cups, more like two small cocktail napkins. I peeked down the hall to make sure my little brother wasn't around. I closed my door and stripped down to my skivvies. I put my arms through the straps, leaned forward, and reached around my back, trying to fit the little hooks into the counterpart eyes. I'd seen my mom and my friends do this. They made it look easy, but it wasn't. I struggled, trying to get the two pieces of elastic to match up. And then, just when it felt like my arms were going to snap off, I got it fastened. I pulled my desk chair up to the dresser mirror and stepped up, expecting to see a girl with bruised shins and a baggy pair of carters. Reflected before me was a lovely young woman, looking as soft as baby powder. I pushed my hair back and stared. There was a hint of cleavage. I was transfixed. Wearing that bra somehow magically coaxed out the woman hiding within. I folded my underpants down to mimic a more grown-up bikini style, and as if the makers of Teen Form had been working in cahoots with my hormones, I spotted a teensy hint of hair sprouting in my pelvic region. Shocked, I pulled my waistband out and bent down for a closer look, and yep, there they were. Maybe they'd been there for a while, and I hadn't wanted to notice. But now, I was ready. I bent forward with my hands on my knees and pushed my rear end slightly up, looking as coquettish as Betty Boop. I hooded my eyes like Marilyn, and I mimicked Betty Grable's over-the-shoulder gaze, only to discover that I'd buckled my bra up wrong. So much for the bombshell. I looked more like one of those sad old ladies in the communal dressing room at Lohmann's. I guess becoming a woman was going to require a bit more practice. When I heard my little brother running up the stairs, I quickly put my t-shirt and shorts back on, jumped up on my canopy bed, and grabbed a book off my bedside table. What are you doing? What's it look like? I'm reading. Want to play Twister? Twister? Didn't he know that I was way too old for games like that? I slid off my bed. Sure. I figured adulthood could wait a little bit longer.